Okay, so that's a little bit, you know, some things for you to chew on from now until the next session. So we have some time for questions. So, Randy, I hope you've been getting some questions. Okay, so the question is, the statement that one therapist said that he felt that his Buddhist patients were less able to deal with anger than other people. Now, I wonder what deal with anger means. It's not clear to me. Does that mean... Okay, so Buddhists feel like they shouldn't be angry. Okay, well, that's exactly why I said that I wasn't saying that we shouldn't be angry. Because, you know, that is a further judgment that we're putting on ourselves, telling ourselves what we should and shouldn't feel. You know, it's not a question of should or shouldn't. It's a question of what are we feeling and what do we want to do with the feeling. And before the anger has arisen, the question is, how do I want to train my mind? You know, how do I want to train my mind to see situations? You know, actually, if you're practicing correctly, you know, Buddhism brings about a certain amount of, you know, should bring about more self-honesty than you find in the general public. So, you know, for myself personally, I know when I'm able to really acknowledge to myself what I'm feeling, there's a tremendous sense of relief because, okay, now I know it's anger, now I know it's jealousy, now I know it's arrogance. Okay, I know what it is I'm feeling. I know the Buddha taught an antidote. Whoo, you know, I feel actually a tremendous sense of relief from this. So I think rather than, you know, say I shouldn't feel this, because that's not at all what the Buddha was saying. You know, let's acknowledge what we feel and then move on in a positive direction from there. Okay? And our meditation practice should make us more able to acknowledge what we're feeling. You know, if we're not able to acknowledge what we're feeling, it could be because we're not actually doing a meditation practice and we're just listening to the teachings and falling into our old habit of judging ourselves. Okay, so the idea of righteous anger and feeling angry when we see injustice, feeling angry when we see people who seem like they haven't done anything and yet they're experiencing great suffering at the hands of another person. Definitely these situations, you know, there's injustice going on, and definitely we need to intercede if we can. Okay, so patience does not mean making ourselves a doormat and just, you know, accepting stuff. But it gives us a clarity of mind where we can intercede. Okay, when we're angry at the injustice, our mind actually becomes very much like the minds of the people who are perpetrating the injustice. You know, and I really saw this so clearly, you know, many years ago when I was a Vietnam War protester. You know, we were protesting the violence in our country, and the guy next to me picked up a brick and threw it, and I went, whoa, you know, what's happening? Because then, you know, when our mind is violent, our mind's no different than the mind of the person that we're, you know, criticizing. So I think in response to injustice and these kinds of tragic situations, anger is not the only emotion we can feel. You know, compassion actually is a tremendously strong emotion that completely, you know, sees the situation in a different way and has compassion not only for the victim. In this case, in Jeremy's example, you know, the killing or murder of innocent children, you not only have compassion for the kids, but you have compassion for the perpetrator. Okay? And that's a stretch for us, because we like to say one party's innocent, one party's guilty. But when we can have compassion for the perpetrator, when we can see that the person who is killing, the person who is harming, is experiencing intense, great suffering, and have compassion for the suffering they're experiencing now, and the suffering that they're going to experience in the future because of the karma they're creating, when we can have compassion for the perpetrator and the victim, our mind is much clearer and we're able to approach the situation we're more likely to find a solution that is actually going to stop the harm without continuing more harm in a different direction. Okay? So I think, you know, in those situations, because we all face them, don't we, when we see people getting harmed, to really, you know, have compassion for the victim, have compassion for the perpetrator. And this is really one thing that I've really learned from my work with inmates, is, you know, it's totally possible to have compassion for perpetrators of crimes, and that people who perpetrate crimes are not evil, horrendous people. They're people who were overcome with their negative emotions at that one particular moment in time. And they're as worthy of compassion as we are.